salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You may be seated. Good morning, church. I'm not sure what car, train, plane, or bed I'm supposed to sleep in today, but I'm back in the United States. I just returned from 10 days in Guyana. I got up at 1:30 yesterday morning and got home about 6 o'clock last night. I'm not sure what time I went to bed last night, but Susie said that I didn't have the covers pulled up before I was asleep. I may continue that sleep at some point during my sermon and join the rest of you. But for those who are awake, just cut the lights out and don't disturb us on your way out. God is good all the time. And I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the country, from the country of Guyana. They are excited to be acquainted with you, as indirectly as it may be. They are excited for the work that you are doing here and are thankful for your contribution of care, resources, and prayer to assist them in their labor in the vineyard. I look forward to tonight at 6 o'clock, giving you the report from our trip to Guyana. I hope that you'll make time to be here with us. If for some reason you're hindered in being here, it will be broadcast on our website. So I hope that you will try to join us there if possible. Would you please join me as we pray together this morning? Dear loving Father, how great and awesome is your name. You're an amazing God. God who looked down through time, who saw us in our deepest need, and who sent your Son to satisfy that need. Thank you so much, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, for your kindness, for your love, for all of your goodness that you have poured out to us. That which we did not deserve, but that, Father, which you freely gave. As we come before your throne today in worship, Father, we pray that you would be glorified in our lives, in our song, and in your church. Help us, Father, to do things that are pleasing to you. And help us as we look into your precious word to be encouraged by it, to be changed, and to be better equipped day by day to enter into your vineyard. Bless us at this time as we share in your word, Father. Speak to our hearts and minds and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' life serves as our example. Jesus' death brought forth our forgiveness. Jesus' resurrection brings hope to the world. Jesus' ascension into heaven gives us something to look forward to because we know that where he is, there we will be also. Everything about who we are and what we do centers upon Jesus Christ. He made it possible for us, at the Father's direction, to do everything that he desires for us. He made it possible for us to come out of our lost state, our sorry state of affairs that we were in, created by our own sin, our own rebellion, our own rejection of the things that pertain to God. He made it possible for us to be rescued from that by sending Jesus to take your place on that cross. To send Jesus to be buried in that tomb, which should have been yours, sealed for eternity. And to send Jesus to burst forth in glorious day, early on that first day of the week. Not to show us the empty tomb, but to prove that he had defeated death and overcome all of those things that were working against us at the direction of Satan. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is ours and we are his. It's amazing how things ripple throughout our lives. And in the area of science, we also see that take place. For instance, Newton's third law. Sorry, you're going to physics class for just a moment. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I want you to think about that with me for just a moment. Because I want to think about the action of Jesus Christ and the equal and opposite reaction that ripples throughout humanity as a result of that. As we just read in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, this is in the first century, and it still exists today. It is still rippling throughout humanity down to such time that Jesus returns. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did what? Who gave himself for us. He did not give himself for his Father. Surely he glorified his Father in giving himself. Surely he was obedient to his Father. Surely he fulfilled his Father's plan. But his death was not for his Father. His death was for us. Who would you die for? It's probably a short list, if there's anybody on that list at all. Who would you die for? Husbands, would you die for your wife? Would you die for your children? Moms? Wives? Would you die for your husband? Would you die for your children? Grandparents, would you die for your grandchildren? You know, that list is going to be pretty short. Jesus died, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he died for his enemies. And I can't wrap my mind around that. I just can't wrap my mind around that. But what is the result of that? He gave himself so that we could have something that we could never have on our own. First of all, to redeem us. Secondly, to purify us. And thirdly, to sanctify us. We can have redemption. We can have purification. We can have sanctification because of the death of Jesus Christ. We are his redeemed. We've been ransomed away from God's offended holiness. We have been ransomed away from a just God who must punish sin. Jesus went to that cross and said, I will take their punishment. God did not say, okay, I'm going to set aside my punishment. Rather, he poured out his wrath on his son on that cross. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus makes this statement that the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life as the ransom. He paid the ransom for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We've got some lovely flowers down here today from our dear sister Debbie Turk's celebration of life yesterday. I landed in Miami coming back from Guyana about the time they were getting started, and I missed it. Susie told me how lovely it was. I've spoken with Don this morning a little bit about it, and I would have been ushered to the side, apparently, because he made everybody take their ties off when they came in. And I'd have been one of those people that'd have to take a tie off. But our sister Debbie has paid the debt that all people pay. Because when you come into life, there's a death appointment for all of us. But she staked her claim with Jesus Christ. And as a result, she died in hope. Her family has hope that they will see her again. But don't ever think you're going to escape that debt, because it is the debt that we all pay. And we need to be ransomed away from God's offended holiness and his avenging justice. Because without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are doomed to an eternal punishment. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we assign ourselves to him by his grace, we join with Christ, we are ransomed, we are set free. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom for all. You are not excluded. Your worst enemy is not excluded. Whoever the biggest villain is that you can imagine is not excluded from that. He paid the ransom for all, even though all would not accept that. Jesus tells us, as he's speaking to his inner circle, when he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. How much greater is it that he died for those who weren't his friends? It is of equal importance, not lesser importance, that he did. We have been purified. He gave himself to purify for himself his own special people. In purification, we have been cleansed of our past sins, and we've been set into a position where we can enjoy the perpetual cleansing of the blood of Christ as we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The perpetual cleansing. When you get into the savannah of Guyana, there's this orange powdery dust. The rainy season has not yet set in, so there's not this orange sludgy mud. There's an orange powdery dust. And your clothing and your skin and your hair and everything traps that dust. And even when you've got something you have not worn, you put it on and it's dirty about the time that you put it on. When you get back to Georgetown, you take your first shower away from the interior, and when you look down, the water is orange coming off of you. Our sin stained our soul red. And the crimson flow from Calvary washed us white as snow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, says, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. He took all those sins on himself on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to become sin. On that cross, Jesus took the sins of the world and made it possible for us to be purified of our filth, of our lies, of our murder, of our lust, of our disobedience, of our covetousness, of our sacrilege, of our blasphemy, of all of the things that we as humanity have engaged in that are an offense to a holy God. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. There's that phrase again from Titus chapter 2. Gave himself. He gave. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We individually have been cleansed from our past sins. We collectively, as the church of our Savior Jesus Christ, he has purified, he has cleansed us and presented us to himself as a glorious church. Let's not lose that focus. We are cleansed because of him. And we are made holy. We are sanctified as his special people. We are set apart for a work that is beyond anything the world could ever ask or imagine. There's a holy service that we are called upon to conduct in our lives as children who wear the name of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer draws our attention to our sanctification. Beginning in verse 12, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, that from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And you know, we often talk about saints and we're, you know, oh, she's such a saint. He's such a saint. But we never look in the mirror and say, I'm a saint. Maybe we don't want to be egotistic about it, but let me tell you something. You're not being egotistical about it. What are you being? You're being biblical because Jesus says you're a saint. He says you are sanctified. He says you are set apart. And by acknowledging it, you're acknowledging what Jesus has done for you. When you acknowledge that you are set apart, that you are holy, that you have been made a saint, you then are in a prepared state to live as a saint. You know, we often hear things from our past that we believe. Maybe it was our parents, our grandparents, a teacher, a coach, or somebody who yelled into our ear, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe we hear those types of voices from our past calling down to us. Don't believe them. But when we're listening to those voices from the past, why aren't we listening to the voice from the past that says, you are holy, you're a saint, you have been sanctified. I did that for you. Isn't that a greater voice to hear than that toxic person from your past that told you you were no good? If we tell ourselves that we're a saint, maybe one day we'll actually believe it and start living like it. Maybe it will change us to realize that. Maybe if you're struggling with certain sins, maybe some sins that are associated with a screen that you have. Maybe you need to put a post-it note on that screen that says, I am a saint. Remind yourself before you visit places you ought not that that's who you are. And that's not where saints go. To the Galatian churches, the Apostle Paul writes in verses 3 and 4, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Look, there's that phrase again. That it seems to be a repeat performance in our New Testaments, is it not? Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He delivered us from this evil age. He has set apart his special people. That's us. You know, this evil age, you know, when we go back to Titus chapter 2, that we need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Here we have been redeemed, set apart, sanctified, purified from this evil age. Are those two different ages or the same age? That's the same age. But that was in the first century. What about now? We still live in that evil present age. It will perpetuate itself until such time that the Father says, I'm done. Son, go get your church. And we're called to live in that environment. Do you know why? Because we're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be a preservative. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to cast out darkness. We're supposed to be an example. You know, we're Christians. Christian means belonging to Christ. I read a writer many years ago who said that we are little Christs walking around on earth. And that's who we're supposed to be. And when you walk into your place of business, when you walk into your place of employment, when you walk into your school, when you walk into your social club or organization, wherever you walk into, you are walking in, and you need to recognize that you are Jesus' special person assigned to his special people, that you are representing Christ in that environment because he gave himself for you, and he gave himself for me. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works. That's your marching orders. He gave. And now you have this special thing. You have redemption. You have purification. You have sanctification. To bring holiness and service was the end of Christ's death. He was focused on that ultimate thing. And it was the entire scope of his teaching while he was on earth. Looking at the adulterous woman in John chapter 8, neither do I condemn you. What does he say? Go and sin no more. What is that? That's holiness and service to God. And you can look at that throughout all of his teaching. You can look, that's what he's called for us to do as his people. That was his action. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What's your reaction to that? We started with Newton's third law. We see what he did and the result of that, but how do we respond to that? You see, the rock, Jesus Christ, is dropped into the pond that is us, and there are ripples that are going to affect everything in our lives. It's either going to have a negative effect upon us because we reject and rebel against it, or it's going to have a positive effect that not only affects us, but affects all those around us. How are you going to react to it? In Romans chapter 6, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church, reminds them of what was going on. And they're standing before God and they're standing in society. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, isn't that what we're honoring and remembering? Isn't that what the world's talking about this morning? Just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, surely we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. There is a day coming when you will be like him. You won't be him, but your form, your existence will be just like Jesus's. Last night was the sixth bed I've been on in 10.5 days. My back is killing me. It won't hurt ever again in my new existence. Some of you are with walkers. Some of you can't walk at all. Others have other ailments. Those things will go away when we are in the likeness of his resurrection. They will be no more. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In our baptism, we reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changes who we are, and we are forever changed. The Apostle Paul tells the Galatian church in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. That's a direct connection to Romans chapter 6. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And what? Gave himself for me. That was his action. What's your reaction this morning? If you're not a child of God, if you've never given him your life, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he came into this world, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived, that he set that example, that he went to that cross, took your sins, went into the tomb, and came out on that third day alive, that he's ascended to heaven, that he's coming back? Do you believe that? Are you ready to turn from those sins that he paid the price for, that which is keeping you from living a holy and sanctified life? Will you confess that fact today, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, And in so doing, will you crucify yourself, being baptized for the remission of your sins and being raised to walk in a new life? We can help you with that today. Maybe you've done those things and you've lost sight of your redemption. You've lost sight of your purification. You've lost sight of your sanctification. Come back to Him today. Make it right today. Let us pray with you, pray for you, help you however we can. But make known your need as together we stand and sing.
Be your name in a land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing.